When it comes to roadside Americana, there are few things on a higher pedestal than diners. Simultaneously mass-produced and individual, these eateries have been serving locals and passers-through across the country for well over a century, and their various looks, settings, and signage draw the eye like nothing else. I encourage you to go back to early March. March is my favorite diner time of the year, to hear part one of Scott of Diner Day in the USA and I breaking down diners both collectively as documents of the first half of the 20th century and individually as primary sources of their respective settings. Admittedly, part two does contain its share of us gushing about our favorite diners and the meals that they serve, but if you frequent one yourself, I think you'll forgive us. For there is something really special about grabbing a booth or a spot at the counter, flipping the ceramic mug over for coffee, and waiting for some comfort food while taking in the ambiance of a diner. So before we get back into talking diners and things, maybe since initially this is for a little extra information for folks, what prompted the Instagram page Diner Day in the USA?
Yeah, I've always had a personal Instagram account, and every so often I put my trips to diners on there, along with other kind of just random stuff from my life. And my wife said, you know, have you thought about just like doing just a diner page? And hadn't really thought of just, I'm like, well, I guess. And I, you know, and so I actually started, and I think what's funny is, again, going back to my days of being in Lehigh Valley and trips with my parents, and we would always go to like a Stewart's Drive-In. I don't know if you've ever experienced a Stewart's Drive-In.
In upstate New York, there's a Stewart's.
Not the same. I've been doing a lot of travel up in upstate New York, so I've seen these Stewart shops.
Yeah,
it's different from the Stewart root beer shops that I was familiar with back when I was growing up. So we would always stop at these on the way out to Western Pennsylvania, this Stewart root beer, kind of almost like a drive-in.
So kind of like an A&W.
Yeah, kind of like an A&W. Yeah. And so we would stop there. My first post, if you look, is a place in New Jersey that's a Stewart. So it's kind of a diner. But it's not really kind of a diner. It's more like a drive-in, which I think when I started, I wasn't sure how to do it. Right. And so over time, I've kind of evolved into, okay, what's the brand? Like, what do I want to do with this? Right. You know, am I doing restaurants? Am I doing diners? What classifies as a diner? You know, it's kind of evolved over time. But it is kind of funny that my first picture on the Instagram account
like
is
my first diner picture. It's not a diner, right?
It's not necessarily a diner. It's kind of a drive-in.
Yeah.
But it kind of the same sort of thing. It's a nostalgia vintage sort of thing. So that took place back in 2000, not that long ago, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And that was right before the pandemic.
Right.
So I started content right before the pandemic started. And then everything was shut down. So it was
including
really
diners.
Really, right. Yeah. Especially diners. Diners got hit really, really hard, you know, with all the state restrictions and other things that places just wouldn't be open.
They couldn't easily transform it into to-go food right away.
No, like you know, some. Too. You know, some put places outside, you know, tables and chairs.
It's a weird thing at a diner to be. I did it a few times. I'm like, this isn't right. Like,
right. No, totally is. So, you know, since 2019. And so I started just to follow people who share the same interests.
Yeah.
With diners, kind of paintings, artwork, signs, neon, travel, you know, so I started just following a whole bunch of diners, but then I realized that there's a whole bunch of people who are really into diners. And those are the people that I got to learn.
Yeah.
What do they like to post? What do they like? You know, what are their interests? And so I've gotten to learn a lot about just photography, how to kind of frame things, kind of a before and after, say a daylight shot and then a nighttime shot of the same thing. So in the same post, you have a post in Marietta, Georgia of a diner that is full neon.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the day, it's kind of, you would never know.
Right. It looks like any other.
Right. It's like any other place. Yeah. So it's really taken a while. So I'm up to about 1600 followers so far.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's, you know, probably last couple of months has actually been quite good. Kind of a lot of new followers over the last couple months, just with the recent posts that I've had.
I think it's almost like the aesthetic that so many of those diners have and are, is just so appealing to people. Definitely when we couldn't go to them, that's probably one reason why, is because people will spend a lot of their time. I wouldn't know anybody personally like this who just spent a lot of time on the internet the whole time. Scrolling through and be like, oh, that's, I like the way that looks. You know, there's just something, even if it was nostalgia for a time period you never experienced, like it's just so like nice and like, you know, so I guarantee you that, you know, there's so many people that stumble across something like that. And like me, and that's how I stumbled across it. I'm like,
yeah,
this is nice. Like, this is just, you know, I think it was suggested.
Appreciate that.
Because I have, I've been recently following other vintage, you know, kind of Instagram things, and did a episode a few weeks ago with Rolando Pujol, who is the retrologist.
Awesome. And he's absolutely awesome.
He was just fantastic. We did an episode about Holiday Inn and Hojo's. Awesome. Yeah.
Yes.
And it was just like, it was same kind of thing. We're like, we might not have actually experienced this in our lifetimes, but we, like you said, starting out with when you were a kid, it was like you were like given this, like we inherited this wonderful world of, you know, that those kinds of restaurants and hotels and motels and you know, systems and ways of doing things.
Yes.
And we've watched a lot of them go away, but we've been able to preserve the ones that we like a lot. And so, you know, even if these places are eventually going to the wayside, at least we can enjoy their appearances for a little bit longer. Thanks to the Instagram.
Yeah. Shout out to him, because, you know, we've DM'd back and forth. And one of the places I grew up going to is Arthur Treacher's.
Oh yeah.
It's like a fish and chips place. Not many of them around, but no. he had sent me some pictures of some of his Arthur Treacher's places. It's just, he's an amazing source of just vintage retro stuff. It's amazing.
Ponderosa is now considered
Ponderosa, you know, Bonanza. Retro now.
But I'm like, yeah, I mean, it is America's roadside, and
it is.
You know, so it does count. And you know, for my show's point of view, these are all products. These are all artifacts.
Right.
They're all, you know, reflections of the society and the times in which they were made. And subsequently, when they have, you know, they do influence, you know, throughout. Like my wife and I, we met when we were going to school in central New York, right on the shores of Lake Ontario in Oswego, New York. And there's some great diners in Oswego. Last time we were back was last spring. And unfortunately, our favorite one was no more, the Ritz. I mean, that's a diner name. And there was Wade's. That was a classic diner. As soon as you walk in, there's the flat top grill. The cook is actually looking at you, you know, and like plate size pancakes, you know.
Nice.
It's fantastic. But it was, you know, we were, you know, poor college kids, you know, didn't have a lot of money. But any night of the week that we didn't want, you know, the food at the dining hall or something like that, like, let's go to a diner. And all we would need is $20. I would cover it, you know,
which that's right.
Sounds like a lot in traditional diner, you know, terminology. But for us, that was affordable. We could get a full meal and drinks and, you know, I'd always have my coffee and my omelet. And, you know, that's how you could get it done. So and I think the audience, you know, to go back to the form that I have, has kind of maintained itself throughout. Wouldn't you say that it's never really gone away from, you know, diners collectively as a group have generally existed for, you know, not the poor and destitute, but definitely not the rich and well-to-do.
No, they're a staple, right? There, if you need a quick meal, you know where to go.
Right.
And a lot of these businesses, And you know from your time that you probably spent up in Oswego, New York, and upstate New York, and those diners, they've been family run for years.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes they'll just pass through generation to generation, that it's just the way. And most of them are owned by Greek families.
Right.
As it turns out, they're, you know, almost a whole bunch of the ones that I follow are owned by just wonderful Greek families, just generation over generation. Mm-hmm. And because they maintain, they understand the history, they understand the value to their customers, they understand why they're there. And they're there to serve their community. They're there to serve their patrons who come in and expect a good meal. And that's what it's about.
And a lot of it goes back to, you know, the first Greek families that owned those restaurants, a lot of them were themselves immigrants.
Yes.
And that era of, you know, I'm thinking Greek immigration, early 20th century, a lot of them fleeing the wars of the, you know, former Ottoman Empire and you know, trying to get to the country, anywhere, you know, coming to the United States, you know, for that reason. And they had that motivation of, like we were saying before, let's start my own business. And, you know, that also here in New England runs pretty deep with the pizza parlors too. Like any pizza house is almost guaranteed to be a Greek family that runs it. And that attitude of like, you know, I am going to make my place in this new world. I'm going to, you know, make my mark and have my own business and everything like that. And, you know, a lot of the Greek recipes will show up on those diner menus, and it like confirms, like, yes, this is a Greek family that runs it, because they have, you know, the
Slovakia,
yeah, right? And they always have
the baklava,
you know, baklava, you know, they'll make sure it's there.
The gyro,
feta cheese, and the gyro, and they'll have the gyro. But you know, sometimes they even have the Greek section of the menu, like the back.
Absolutely do.
But they also know that not everybody's there for that, and so they'll have pancakes and waffles and eggs and all the normal breakfast stuff. Breakfast all day.
Look, if they have patty melts, I'm all in.
Yes.
You give me a patty melt, that's my go-to. Or in breakfast, it's, you know, two eggs over easy with hash browns and toast.
Yes.
And you can throw in some bacon in there too, but yeah.
I think about, so you were saying before about, you know, is it a diner? Is it a drive-in? Is it, I guess we could throw in the word dive and think of Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
You know, he did that program for a while, and I don't know if he still does on the Food Network.
I think so.
And,
yeah.
Where he would visit one of those kinds of establishments, you know, however categorized. And boy, when I'd watch those shows, I was just like, I want to be there. I want, you know, especially the diners. Right. I'm like, I need to have a cup of coffee. And it's funny, because like at home, I was saying before about, you know, preparing food, trying to be like a diner. When I'm at home, my coffee is black. I don't put anything in it. But when I go to a diner, it's always, I put one cream in, you know, it's like, that's
your diner. That's diner your diner coffee. Coffee.
Yeah.
I can't.
And it's funny like that. So whenever he's visiting it, and the main diner up in Wells is one of the places that he's visited. And, you know, they'll let you know that as soon as you walk in.
Yes.
There's lots of,
yes,
but they been have there. That kind of, what I like about that diner is, you know, if we were to answer all the questions for the main diner, it would probably hit a lot of the same answers as all the other ones, but they also have very local food. Like there's lobster,
yes,
in like three or four places on the menu. You know, there's going to be blueberries, you know, fresh blueberries in their pancakes. And you know, they are the main diner. That's their whole thing. And you know, and if a place can, you know, get away with a Spanish American War slogan as their gift shop, then that's pretty good. I always like, huh, you know, remember the main. You know, that's there. But you know, they answer those questions. But I would say that nowadays, and probably for a long time in that particular diner's history, their intended audience isn't necessarily, you know, longshoremen going off to, you know, or lobstermen getting ready. It's the tourists, you know,
it's tourists
in summertime.
Yep.
It's lines out the door. And you know, as soon as you drive through that section of Wells, you're like, yep, I'm not going there.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I've stopped there. I stopped there once and lobster roll. I mean, they do it right.
Yes.
Right. So I've had numerous lobster rolls. theirs is very good. Their fish chowder and their clam chowder we had, very, very good. And it is, it kind of checks all the boxes off for kind of a, just a really good diner, yeah. Right? And it, at the far end, it has one of those neon clocks,
right?
That says the main diner. So look, I'm always about the neon clocks too. Yeah. If they have a neon clock, you know, even on one of my Instagram posts, I put all these clocks from all these different diners around. So, and actually Main Diner is one of them within that series of photos. So really, really fun.
Where do you think, when so many of these diners went all in on neon, what do you think was the motivator behind that? Was just so that it would stand out in the nighttime?
I think
so many of the other businesses that were doing it.
Yeah. Good question. Really like to do a little bit more digging on that idea. I mean, my thought is that along with the chrome, you know, with neon, it's just going to pop so bright,
right,
and really trying to grab people's attention from the road, you know, from the highway or from the roadway, whatever it is. They just kind of go together. I'm just thinking back on some of these places that I've stopped at, one in Milford, Pennsylvania, Village Diner in Milford. And they have a beautiful neon sign, beautiful chrome kind of exterior. Just kind of pops. Mm-hmm. So I you know, my thought is it's just a way of saying, come here.
Right.
You know, this is the place.
And I think they also kind of use it as a way to communicate what their status is in society, you know, just kind of be like, once again, you know, in the daytime you could see it clear as day that, you know, it's like I said before, just kind of a, you know, greasy spoon. You're going to get what you get, you know, kind of thing. It's going to be good. It's not going to be, you know, and it's, you get what you pay for kind of thing. And at night, it's not, you don't want to be expecting, you know, fine dining. It's just like, oh yeah, look at that place. It's lit up just like a casino, you know,
right.
It's lit up, you know, just like the motel right across the street from it.
That's right.
They go hand in hand. So it's all that mid 20th century, you know, wordless communication that they can get across just from the signs and the, you know, having the clock in there also tells you, I mean, because most restaurants don't have clocks. That tells you something about their, at least traditional clientele, is that people are looking at the clock. They got to make sure that they, you know, can get their food and dash off to work or, you know, on back on the road because they're traveling and they don't want to waste any time.
And some of those, going back to kind of the prefab diners, these Jerry O'Mahony diners, they're right in the middle. So when you come into the right through the middle of the diner, right at the entrance to the back where it goes in the back, sometimes they have a kitchen in the front, but some in the back where they maybe do like food prep and other stuff. There's always a clock right up there. Mm-hmm. Like in those sorts of diners, they always have those clocks up there.
Right.
So they're so, it's just part of how they were made.
Yeah.
You know, that's where the clock was. But other places they have a neon clock and with their insignia or whatever it is, and they'll put it on, you know.
What are your thoughts about the diners? I know we've all been to them that seem to kind of go over the top with the 1950s rock and roll. You know, it's almost like they're trying to be one of those paintings where Marilyn Monroe and Elvis, like
over the
and,
top,
yeah, and you know, are all hanging out together. You know, it's like they have the jukebox going. I'm like, when I go into some places like that, they almost seem like themed. It's a bit of a turnoff for me, anyway. Up in Montreal, there's a chain of them called Nichols, and I think Celine Dion either used to or still is like the owner of them. Because they always had a picture of her in the doorway.
Yeah.
And it was like that, where it's like only 50s music playing all the time. And there's like a picture everywhere of like, there's James Dean and over there. And it was just like, you know, all the booths with like 57, Chevrolets. And it was just like, okay, we get it. Like, this is like, to me, I like it so much when I walk into a diner and it's not trying so hard to remind me I'm in a diner, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm kind of the same way. I think that, you know, places will just kind of go over the top for those people who maybe don't travel, right? They just hear about diners and they, but I'm all about kind of the low key kind of diners. And I get why they want to do that, because they want to kind of show it off. They want to kind of go over the top, maybe a little bit too much tchotchke. but they're trying to make it very diner, very right. much a diner. And you're like, you could probably scale that back 50% and still be a really good diner. But
because what's funny to me is like, I don't think teenagers in the 50s really hung out at diners all that much. Like some of them maybe worked at a diner, but they would usually go to like the pizza parlor or, you know, the somewhere there's
ice cream shop
room to dance, you know, like maybe I'm being too cliche about them too, but it just like, I don't, to me, diner, like I think I can say, honestly, my all time favorite work of art is Nighthawks. You know, the diner scene in the city where you just see like the guy getting the coffee ready and there's a couple that's, of one, you know,
that's right.
That is just, to me, that's what I look for. You know, when I think of diner, and there's nothing better in my opinion. I know you've been there before too, where you're like 10:30 at night, you're driving, you're getting tired, but you're not quite ready to, you know, give it up for the night. You're like, okay, I'm just going to have late supper. And you go into some diner and you're like one of three people there, and it's just like the best.
Well, you know, it's funny. There was a place that's exactly what happened to me. I was kind of in this situation where I was traveling between Pittsburgh and Altoona, Pennsylvania. And it's about, I don't know, hour and a half to almost 2 hours between the two. And kind of in the middle is this place, Dean's Diner. And so I was traveling kind of from Altoona to Pittsburgh. And I knew that this place was open and it was late. It was probably like 11:30 at night. And I had that sense of what you're talking about, that I envisioned that picture in my mind. And there I was sitting at the counter and I said, you know what? I'm just going to have coffee and some pie. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to have coffee. And the waitress was so frazzled. I said, you know what? I just want some of that pie over there and a coffee. That's all I want. And she said, that's all you want, honey? I'm like, that's all I want. And I'll be on my way.
Thank you for responding to me with honey. That just made it.
I know. Well, like, you know, like, that, exactly. You know, 11:30 at night. And then when I stepped out of the place, you know, it's so, there's not much around that, this particular diner. So it's so dark. And when you're taking pictures from the outside looking in, it just has this appearance of that picture you mentioned.
So cozy.
That coziness. So
that's just something that really cannot be replicated with the franchised restaurants and
can't.
You know, those kinds of, you know, I think there was, I don't know if it exists anymore, for a while they had a soda jerk, you know, like a, you know, ice cream parlor / diner called Johnny Rockets.
Yes.
And, you know, that chain and the paper hats and everything. And then, you know, every 10 minutes they would all dance on the counter and, you know, to whatever jukebox song came on. And I'm like, yeah, that's like somebody that just kind of took one aspect of it and said, yeah, we're going to make it the attraction, instead of like, no, I'm being attracted by the quietness of it. I'm being attracted by you know, the simplicity, you know, that's the attractive nature of it. And that's probably always been there. I guarantee you that's why so many people have made it their community hub, you know, like you were saying before, where it's like, that's where people and, you know, emanate from and to at the beginning and end of every day is the diner. And, you know, there's so much that it says without having to, you know, elevate the decor to look like, you know, Elvis's, you know, living room or something.
Right.
Yeah, it's so before we depart, best diner you've ever been to, what would you say is the best diner?
Oh, that's such a hard question. I know we talked about Palace a lot. That is really one of my favorites. I think, you know, I'll just go nostalgic and I'll just say City View Diner, because look, I grew up there in Pennsylvania. It kind of sits on top of a hill, overlooks kind of Allentown. So much has changed in that area, but yet the City View Diner remains. So I'd say City View Diner, just from a nostalgic point of view. You know, probably the next time I'm down there, I'll probably go back there. every time I, you know, in Lehigh Valley, always stop in the City View Diner.
Is it cash only? Do they still just take cash, or
no?
Does,
not that they... one is that one. You can use credit cards, okay. But yeah, like Palace, yeah, the ATM is outside, so right. You can get some cash. But look, I've been to a bunch of places in California, in San Francisco, awesome diners out in California, St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
New Orleans. I was just in New Orleans recently. I've been in New Orleans like two or three times, and amazing places down in New Orleans. But I'll just say City View just to make it.
That's fair enough. And
because the Rainbow Diner, because the Rainbow Diner is no longer there.
Yeah, so you can't say that one. But
right
at the end of the Rainbow,
now, that's right,
is,
that's
is
right.
The City View.
Yes.
And well, Scott, I can't thank you enough for the quick turnaround. It was like diner time that I ordered my request, and it came within about a day and a half. We were able to do
yeah.
this.
It's perfect.
That was just perfect. So I thank you for joining me on the Everything is a Primary Source podcast.
You're very welcome.
Everything, including diners, is a primary source, and people can find you on Instagram at Diner Day in the USA,
and Twitter and Facebook. But it's primarily Instagram, and I'll post to all three platforms primarily.
Instagram is the place to be.
Instagram is kind of the place.
I love it. Just picture caption. You know, you don't need to do anything else.
It's almost like a mini blog, right?
It absolutely is.
And I'll put pictures up there, have some history behind it, maybe what I experienced there. Check it out.
Yeah. And probably the best feature that brings it all together to the diners is the hashtag that, you know, it will suggest things to you, or if you're looking for something. And that's what diners have always done, is like they are the hashtags of, you know, the Great
that's
American
true.
Road. Because as you're driving around, if you see that sign that says Joe's Diner or, you know, Betty's or whatever,
that's right,
you're almost guaranteed that that's going to be a good place, you know.
That yeah,
you
that's
stop
right
there and enjoy a good meal, even if it adds, you know, a little bit more extra time instead of
exactly
McDonald's. So
exactly.
Thank you so much, and thank you for listening to the
You're so very welcome. It was a pleasure. Appreciate awesome. It.
Don't hesitate to check out both of us on Instagram, Diner Day in the USA, as well as the EPS podcast. Check me out online, www.everything-history.com. We'll talk to you next time on the Everything is a Primary Source podcast, Part 2, Palooza.